I'm going to open up in prayer, just because I didn't last time. I felt like it didn't count as a sermon, so. All right, let's pray, guys. Dear God, thank you that we could all be here. I pray that you can speak through me, and that we can learn more from you in the Gospel of John. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right. I'm leaving you. Those are the three most painful words that you could hear someone say to you, I would argue. So I don't know if anyone said that to you. That's kind of why I wanted Heather to talk. She felt abandoned by God, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. But if you guys have ever had someone abandon you, someone ever tell you that they're leaving, you know how painful it can be. So one of my first memories, I was about 2.5, 2.5 or 3, and I was going to church with my parents, and they take me to the nursery, and they go, all right, we're going to go to church, and we'll be back, so please don't, like, crap your pants. And they said they'd be back, right? And as soon as they left, I heard something different. I heard, I'm never coming back, and you're on your own now. So I'm looking at these kids, this room full of other three-year-olds, and they're all, you know, they all, like, have pink eye, and I don't want to talk to them, and I'm just, like, crying my eyes out. And I remember just the feeling that they're never coming back and I'm all by myself. And I remember just being really upset at my parents. And to this day we have, I'm just kidding. No, we're better now. But anyways, so in this passage, we're in John chapter 13. We're starting in 31. But in this passage we see Jesus, he's telling his disciples that he's leaving. And not only that, he says that they can't follow him where he's going. So doesn't seem like that big of a deal if you don't know much about Jesus and his disciples, but if you do know their story, you know that that's a pretty huge deal. So if we go back to their history, when Jesus first met these guys, he told them, drop everything and follow me, and they did. You know, these guys are like fishermen, and they just had their catch for the day, and he's like, hey, drop all this. You know, I know you're hungry, but follow me, and so they did. I don't know if I would have done that. And they've lived with him for 3 years. He's their number one mentor, and now he's saying he's leaving. So you can imagine that would be a little bit of a what the heck, right? And so let's start here. We're in 31, and we're gonna do it a little differently. I'm just gonna read the whole time, so you guys don't have to be all whatever. All right. So in 31, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. And so, 1 second, I lost my place. So, they're like, he's saying, you can't follow me, I'm leaving. And so you can imagine that they're asking, why are you leaving? How can you just leave us like this? You're our number one mentor, and now what, right? And so, the first question you usually ask someone who tells you they're leaving is, well, where are you going? And that's exactly what Peter does. And so we are in verses 36 through 38 right now, chapter 13. So it says, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me 3 times. So if you notice, Peter asks Jesus, where are you going? And Jesus doesn't even answer the question. He says, you just can't follow me, right? And then Peter's like, well, every other time Jesus has told me something and I didn't understand, the main point has been, well, just follow him, right? Jesus has said from the beginning, all you have to do is follow me. Even if you don't get anything else right, just follow me. And now he's saying, you can't follow me. So what the heck is that? And then Peter says to Jesus, why? I would die for you. Why are you leaving? I want to follow you. I would do anything for you. And so I don't know about you guys, but if somebody said that to me, it would be pretty flattering. It'd be like, well, thank you, you know. No one would say that, but if they did, and I would probably say, like, okay, you could follow me. Like, you obviously don't know what you're getting yourself into, but you could follow me. But Jesus doesn't respond that way. He says, you're going to betray me. That's what he says to him. It's like, what? And so, okay, here's a couple things about that. Jesus, it turned out to be true. Peter did deny him three times, right? But if he knew he was going to deny him, why couldn't he just tell Peter to do the right thing? Like, okay, you're going to be forced with or faced with this opportunity to deny me, and here's how you do the right thing. He doesn't tell him how to do the right thing. He just says, Peter, you're not as good of a friend to me as you say you are. And honestly, I think Peter was sincere here. I think he really did want to lay down his life for Jesus, and he didn't know where else to turn. So I don't know if you guys have ever gotten broken up with. I have. Big surprise. But so there was this girl. I dated her for about a year, and I really liked her. She was about a year older than me. So it was in college. She graduated. I still had a year left. And so I remember that day she graduated. We sat down. I was like, all right, so how are we going to make this work? You know, let's do the long-term deal. And, you know, here's my Skype account. I didn't have Skype then. I'm lying. But the point is, I was like, let's make this work, right? And she goes, no, it's over. Like, I'm moving on. You're just a marketing major, right? And you have a year left, you know? Who cares about you? She didn't say that. But it was really hurtful. I was like, what the heck? And I go, well, I would do anything for you. I honestly would. I care about you so much. And I really wanted to do what I could to keep it, but it was out of my control. And she said, no, I'm leaving. And I remember how devastating that was. I was just like, wow, there's nothing I can do to prevent my, you know, number one person in my life from leaving. And you can imagine that Peter's feeling this way, too. He wants to do everything he can to keep Jesus to stay, and Jesus is like, no, there's nothing you can do. And so I kind of brushed past the history of Jesus with his disciples, but just put yourself in Peter's shoes here. I'm sure you can. I'm sure you've had someone tell you that they're leaving. I'm sure you've had a moment where you felt abandoned. But just keep in mind, he is sincere here. He really wants to follow Jesus, and Jesus isn't letting him. And so this is the Upper Room Discourse. So this is the Last Supper. Judas has just left to go trade, you know, for 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus. So it's just the 11 and Jesus, and they're all up there. And so you can imagine at this moment that the mood is a little bit, you could say, depressed. I'm sure there's some of the disciples who are angry. They're just like, okay, great, awesome, you're leaving. That's so awesome now. What do I do now? You know? And Peter, I'm sure, has every bad emotion you can think of. You know, he's confused, he's hurt, he's angry. And so Jesus could read people's minds. He was the Son of God, but I don't think he would have had to in that moment. I think just by looking on their faces, you could see how depressed they were about this. And so in 14 verse 1, we see, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And so if he would have just stopped there, it's like, kind of seems a little insincere. Let not your hearts be troubled. Oh, well then, problem solved. My heart's not troubled anymore. Luckily, he doesn't stop there. So he now goes on in the next couple verses to give him a couple clues about, okay, here's why I have to leave, and here, you know, I'll be coming back. He gives him clues with that, so let's keep reading. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. And so he's given him a little bit of hope. He's not giving him all the info yet. He's just saying, look, I'll be back. You know, I need to prepare a place for you. And so you guys just need to think about this for a second. And so, hold on. Okay, so at this moment, I think now it registers with the disciples. It's like, okay, he really means what he said. He's leaving. But now they're like, all right, give us one more thing about you tell us one more thing we can hold on to while you're gone so that we know you're for real. That's what they're saying to him. So if we keep reading, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And so here's where they're like, give us one more thing to hold on to. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, so you can imagine, okay, he spent 3 years with these guys. He's shown them time and time again. He's done these miracles. He just raised Lazarus from the dead like a week ago, right? So he's proven that he's the Son of God. He's proven that he's a big deal. You can trust him. And so he's probably a little disappointed in them. I mean, it seems like he is. Like, guys, you should know who I am. I've told you, and so you just need to trust what I'm saying. And so he says, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe in me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. So, you can imagine he's pretty hurt right now. He's disappointed in his disciples. What up, Santos? What up, Matt? He's disappointed right now, and he's saying, like, look, I've given you enough evidence that I'm for real. You just need to trust me. We've spent this much time together. It shouldn't be that hard, right? But then the story takes a little bit of a turn. It gives us a little bit more hope. And so if we keep reading, verse 12 of chapter 14, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So what he's saying here, if I'm reading it correctly, is that although he's physically leaving, he's telling him he's physically leaving, and he has to leave to go prepare a way for them, right? He has to go ahead, but he said he's going to come back. But although he's physically leaving, he's still always going to be there. So if we kept reading, this is my portion of the thing, so Jim might get upset at me, but a couple more verses, you see that Jesus can always be with us, and that's possible with the Holy Spirit. And he says, and so, okay, sorry, I'm a little bit jumbled here. When he says, greater works than these will you do, once he's leaving, he's saying, Jesus was limited geographically, because it's just one person, right? So there's only so much one person can do while he's on earth. So he's saying it's actually for everyone's good that he goes up to heaven so that Holy Spirit can come down and live in the believers. And then it can spread, and then you can just have way more of a global impact than Jesus, one person, could. Right? That's what he's saying here. And so the takeaway is, although he's physically leaving, he promises he will always be with us. And I know that you guys have felt like God's abandoned you from time to time, right? I definitely have. But if when you feel like that, you need to press harder into seeking him. And so when he says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, he's saying, like, I'm still leaving, but you can still talk to me. You can still ask me for the same things. I can still teach you the same way. It can still be as close of a relationship. It's just going to look a little bit differently, right? And so if we go back a little bit, back in 13, Jesus says, 13 verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And so, in those times in the future, when you feel like God's not there, the easiest way to feel his presence again is to love others. Because that was his whole ministry. He did that when he was on earth. And that's what he commands us to do. And so you can't love without Jesus' help. And when you are loving others unconditionally, and I mean, that looks like a lot of things, right? But the main thing is putting people ahead of yourself. When you're doing that, you feel God's presence. And so I just want to, can I get one volunteer to read one verse? Gotta check the verse. Anyone? It's Matthew 28:20. Misha Lunch? All right, cool. So that's the promise that Jesus gives to us. That was the Great Commission. Right before he left, that's what he said, that I'll be with you always. And so there's going to be times when it doesn't feel like that, that he's not there. But rely on the promise that he is, and show love to others, and you'll do the work that he did. Let's pray, guys. God, thanks for today. I know it's really difficult when it feels like people are abandoning us, and when it feels like you're not there. So I just pray that you can use those moments for us to lean in closer on you. I pray that as we go this week that we can remember that promise that you made, that you're always with us. And I pray that we can show other people that promise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.